Hello, I'm Eric from the Communications Group at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. In response to the financial crisis, the Federal Reserve introduced a set of special lending programs, or liquidity facilities, to support the funding markets. The Fed implemented these facilities to keep the financial crisis from intensifying. A more severe crisis would have risked a deeper recession, including a greater loss of jobs, homes, and businesses. Indeed, many studies have found that these facilities help achieve this objective. However, in evaluating these facilities, it is also important to understand their cost to the Federal Reserve and thus the American taxpayer. Recently, two analysts at the New York Fed published a paper on the cost of the liquidity facilities and the income they generated. I am joined by the authors of that paper, Michael Fleming from the Research and Statistics Group and Nick Klaga of the Credit and Payment Risk Group, to discuss their work. Michael, Nick, thank you for joining me. What are the key findings of your report?
Well, we find that the liquidity facilities were not only effective at mitigating the disruptions in financial markets during the crisis, but they were profitable. We estimate that they generated about $20 billion in interest and fee income between 2007 and 2009, or about $13 billion after taking into account the $7 billion cost of funds.
Nick, how do these facilities work, and how did they generate these profits?
So, during the crisis, the Fed lent money, and in some cases, treasury securities, to banks, dealers, and other market participants in order to reduce liquidity pressures in the money markets and funding markets. The interest rates that these institutions paid were higher than the Fed's cost of funds. So effectively, the Fed earned the spread between the higher and lower interest rates. Now, it's also important to remember that these facilities were designed according to well-known lender of last resort principles, meaning that they were well collateralized and charged an interest rate above the cost of funds. So we would expect them to generate income.
We already know that the Federal Reserve publishes official statistics of its revenue in its annual report. How does estimating the income from these facilities add to our understanding?
First, we walk through how the facilities generated income, so the reader gains an understanding of why they were profitable. Second, we carefully consider the facility's cost of funds and relate that cost to the income generated by the facilities. We also consider facilities not broken out in the official reports, and we look at income over more granular intervals of time so one can see how income varied week by week during the crisis.
Did the Fed take on any credit risk when lending through these facilities?
Yes, but the Fed took several steps to minimize that risk. First, the Fed required that loans be backed by collateral. Second, the Fed generally provided the loans on a short-term basis. The Fed also limited the range of its counterparties, and it imposed limits on the borrowing by any particular counterparty.
So, I understand that making a profit was not the primary goal of these liquidity facilities. But what did the Fed do with the generated income?
Well, in general, the Fed returns most of its net income to the U.S. Treasury, which offsets the need of the government to raise funds from other sources, such as taxes. For example, in 2009, Federal Reserve banks returned $47 billion of a total of $52 billion of net income to the government. As with income in general, most of the income from the liquidity facilities was also returned to the government.
Does your analysis incorporate all of the unconventional actions taken by the Federal Reserve during the crisis?
No. Our analysis focuses on the liquidity facilities, such as the term auction facility, the commercial paper funding facility, and other facilities. We don't consider the Fed's direct purchases of assets, that is, the large-scale asset purchases, and we don't look at the Fed's support for critical institutions, such as AIG. Certainly, it'd be well worthwhile to look at these additional efforts.
Michael, Nick, thank you for joining me today. And thank you for watching this New York Fed video podcast.